laws of divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Adherence to Sharia Let us begin by mentioning an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said The one who recites Durood Sharif upon me 10 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 100 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Views of Madin Chal. There is an account or a story or a parable, you could say, that is often mentioned in children's literature in parts of the world, various parts of the world. And it goes somewhat as follows. There was a dog who saw a bone. He was eager to pick it up, placed it in his mouth, and he thought, I'll go somewhere else and I'll eat it. As he is going, on the way he crosses a pond, there's some water, and he looks into the water and sees that there's a dog with a bone in its mouth. Now, obviously we know that's a reflection, but the dog thinks that's another dog, a separate dog, other than himself. Who has a bone as well? And he becomes greedy now. And he thinks to himself, if I manage to defeat this dog, subdue this dog, I take its bone, then I'll have two, double meal. So what does it do? In this excitement, this eagerness to attain more, double what he's already got. And when he pounces into that water, lo and behold, the bone that he already had, he lost that as well. Because it wasn't a real dog. And now, back to square one, he has nothing on his possession. He's lost the bone that he had himself. Never mind doubling it, getting two bones, his own and the other person's, the other dog's rather, he's lost the bone that he initially had as well. Now, this is a story that is mentioned in what context? To explain the reprehensible nature of greed, avarice. And when greed enters a person's heart, when a person becomes greedy, they go to any length, any cause, to try to increase, to try to add more to their belongings, their possessions, their sustenance, whatever the case may be. But greed very often leads to things that are destructive consequences. That are dire. So we need to control this greed. If you look throughout Islamic ages, the ulama have written in their books on tasawwuf, for example, the harms of greed and how to prevent greed. What are the signs of greed? What are the symptoms? What's the treatment? What's the remedy? So greed is something that is not praiseworthy in Islam if it leads to a person committing wrong. Committing sinful acts, committing offenses and crimes that lead to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you look at the dunya today, often greed leads to people stealing, leads to people giving bribes to attain more, it leads to people lying, it leads to people defrauding, and individuals get involved in so many crimes, petty crimes even as well. Just to satiate their greed. So that tells us that greed is something that needs to be kept in check. Every insan has greed to a certain extent. The father of Allah Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, Ra'is al-Mutakallimin, Mufti Naqi Ali Khan Ali Rahma has said that every insan to some extent has greed. Some have more, some have less, but they all have it. Now we have to curb that greed. We have to control that greed. And if we do not control it, if we have an ill intention, if we have a wrong intention, then we'll fall into wrong. Remember, greed can be classified into three types. A good type of greed, positive. A bad type of greed, a negative type of greed, and a mubah type of greed, which is permissible in nature. So a bad type of greed is obviously greed which leads you towards haram. You end up involving yourself in haram to satiate that greed. So you see other people owning a particular car or living in a certain area, having a certain lifestyle, and you want it as well. When you go out of your way, you involve yourself in haram. Why? So that you can try and obtain that. Same car, same house, similar house, same kind of lifestyle. You see, this is haram. This is a negative type of greed. Then you have a positive type of greed. What is that? Eagerness and greed for good deeds. The Quran says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. And you should outdo others, excel and surpass others in what? In good deeds. So there are people in the Ummah, even today, the Salihin, the Awliya, who are eager in accumulating more and more deeds. From day till night, they are earning deeds. We may be involved in the dunya, overwhelming ourselves, but they are involved in increasing their deeds for the hereafter, their good deeds, accumulating more and more hasanat, virtues and good deeds. So this is a good type of greed. And then there's a greed which is classed into a permissible type of greed. What is that? Greed for wealth, for example. Wanting to have more wealth, increasing your bank balance, isn't bad in and of itself, because you can make good intentions there. Now, if someone earns and wants an increase in more, he has greed for wealth, but with what intention? That his family members don't have to beg others. He can concentrate on bringing his children up in accordance to Islamic teachings because financial aspect is taken care of. He wants to feed them halal. Then with these good intentions, another intention can be that when he leaves the dunya, he leaves wealth for them so that they can strengthen their iman by means of it. So intentions change the hukum. This is a good type of greed. You can turn it into a good type of greed. It's permissible, but with good intentions, it becomes a good type of greed. How many people have these intentions? Most people have the intention that, oh, I want to live it up, I want to show people that I have a certain lifestyle, I want to be seen in a certain car. Again, we can't put a hukum on anyone. But the intention, Allah knows. Why is it? If a person drives a normal car and he feels down, he feels sad, but when he's in an expensive car, he feels pride, arrogance, that's wrong, of course. Now, going back to it, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned greed in Al-Quran Kareem, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحْ, Surah Nisa, verse 128, that the hearts are trapped in greed, in the web of greed. It's difficult. And Tafsir Khazin under this verse, it says that greed is part of a person's nature. Lazim, necessary part. We have discussed this. So, when we look at society, when we look at the communities around the world, we find so much crime taking place, so much wrongdoing taking place. So many people get busted. So many people get caught doing fraud, tax evasion, all sorts. Because of greed. People get caught money laundering. People get caught defrauding. So it's important that we keep this greed in check. If it leads to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it leads to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's not a good type of greed, is it? Listen to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people will appear on the Day of Judgment with deeds the size of Mount Tihama, massive mountain. However, when they come to the plains of resurrection, what will their state be? Their deeds will be scattered the way soil is scattered, done away with. They have massive deeds equivalent to mountains in size, will be scattered. It was asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will be the reason for this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned their ibadah, their salah, mentioned their fasting, mentioned their hajj, mentioned their zakat. But then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever impermissible, the haram would come close to them, these people would leap forward and take it. They would be swift in taking it. They would even think for a second, what am I doing? Is it even permissible for me? Is it even allowed for me? Will this wealth that I'm taking, will it destroy my akhirah or better my akhirah? So this is something that we should ponder upon, dear viewers. What's the hadith saying? People would present themselves to take this. They would come forward to take it. They wouldn't hesitate. What's our sketch today? What's our state today? And there is an opportunity or a chance to earn quick money. But it's in an impermissible way. What are we going to do in that situation? Are we going to be tempted? Are we going to succumb to the desires of the nafs? Someone presents something, but it's an interest-based transaction. You know, it's not permissible for you. Are you going to agree to it? Another person tells you, there's a way to make quick money, there's a loophole, but you realize that if you get caught, you'll be imprisoned for it. Someone's doing a tax scam. Someone's doing another scam. There's so many people doing this today. And if you're in that situation, and you could be a part of that, would you think twice? Or would you think, oh, I need the money. I'm very desperate. I'm going to have to do it. Or will you think 1,000 times? There are some cases where you're unsure. Will you then go to a mufti or an alim or a shaykh and say, in light of jurisprudence, in light of Quran and hadith, what is the hukam upon me? Am I allowed to involve myself in this particular venture or not? How many people do this? Or do they think, oh, it's too tempting? If I ask people, it's going to get more complicated. How many people think like that? We see it today. People don't even hesitate. People leap forward and they get involved in these kind of things. Even if it's at the expense of deceiving others, usurping the wealth of others, wronging others, violating the rights of others. They don't think about this. They just do it. So they do this without any regard for the one in front of them, whether it destroys their life, their health, their financial circumstance, or whatever. They're looking for victims to prey on. One famous example is people who adulterate milk, for example, and the likes. They know that if they give khalis pure milk to someone, then they'll be out of milk very soon. They'll have to buy more milk, more stock. So what happens, shaitan tells them, look, if you mix the milk with water, it's still milk, right? Just say you mixed half of it with water. Still got half of milk in there, 50%. And then a person convinces himself, satisfied. Oh, it's all right, it's fine. The person won't find out, the customer won't find out. How are they going to find out? So they end up doing that. But they don't realize that they're not going to be saved from accountability. They're not going to gain barakah in the dunya. They're going to be asked about it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their deeds will go to waste. They won't be counted amongst those who are truthful businessmen, salesmen. So that's just one example. There's so many examples like this in our communities today, where even people who sell medicine, they'll give counterfeit medicine. They'll put only a very small amount of the actual ingredients in there. They'll mix all sorts of other things in there. They'll do that with fragrance as well. They'll label it as 100% oud or 100% this, and it'll be mixed with second-rate products and ingredients. We're seeing this in our communities. We're seeing this in our neighborhoods, in our societies. People have almost, astaghfirullah, made their mind up that it doesn't matter how it comes, as long as it comes. And this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, that towards the end of time, people will not consider where the wealth is coming from, whether it's from halal sources or haram sources. They won't care as long as it's coming. This is a wake-up call for us all. This is something that we have to realize before it's too late. We're going to realize that the Lord Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us, will provide for us. Why do we have a lack of trust? Why do we have a lack of tawakkul and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why are we so weak in this regard? Why do we have to go towards the impermissible and satiate this unlawful greed that we have in us? Why? Hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taken the responsibility upon His mercy to give to the creation? Of course He has. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are the one who provide you. We are the one who provides you with risk. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you afterwards, that the best hereafter is for those who have taqwa. They live in the world, they realize Allah is the provider, they don't involve themselves in haram, accumulation of wealth. And listen to what the Arabs say in this regard, the world and how it entices and what it's like, what's the reality, this world that we get caught up in. Allahu Akbar. They say, هِيَ دُنْيَا كَحَيَّةٍ تَنْفُثُ السَّمْ وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْمَجَسَّةُ لَانَتْ. That this dunya is like a snake. Now what is the condition of a snake? That the actual sting, the bite of a snake, contains what? Poison. Venomous poison can kill a person, a cobra snake or other snakes. In fact, in today's day and age, there's research on how quickly the venom would kill you and the various types of snakes in the dunya. Now, it will kill you if it bites you, if it stings you. At the same time, if you were to stroke its skin, snake skin, it feels very soft, very gentle. And you think there's no harm. You might think there's no harm from it. Why? Because the skin is very gentle. But if it comes to biting you, you're dead. So the Arabs, they say the dunya is like that as well. And when you look at the dunya, it looks very beautiful, very adorned and embellished. And you feel that you can take pleasure in it and it won't harm you at all. But when it comes to harming you, Allahu Akbar, the dunya will sting you in such a way you perhaps won't be able to recover unless Allah Ta'ala's mercy is with you. You will become intoxicated in the dunya. They end up killing over greed and wealth. They end up cutting ties off because of these things. What's that? That's the dunya at play. So, don't ever give tarjih preference to the dunya over your akhirah. If you do, you'll be destroyed. And you just have to think for a moment. This greed that a person is obeying and is committing all sorts of wrong in obeying that greed, unlawful greed we're talking about, that leads to killing, deceiving, usurping, defrauding, harming others. This greed, one day when our soul leaves our body, will not benefit us at all. Look at the recent examples. For example, a few years back you had the coronavirus pandemic, lockdown, shutdown. People were feeling depressed in their mansions because they couldn't go out. And people who died, Salihin died, wicked people died as well. But we're talking about people who are wicked and who earned in wrongful ways. Did their wealth benefit them during that virus? No, as soon as they died, that's it, it's left behind. It didn't go with them in the grave. We have plenty of other examples from the past as well. Look at Fir'aun. How much wealth did he have? Qarun. How much wealth did Qarun have? He had people carrying the keys to his treasures. Strong men. Even they would feel tired as well. Look at Nimrud, the tyrant in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Nimrud was one of those who ruled the entire world. All of the world. But in the end, what happened to him? Mosquito. Fly, he couldn't even survive that. Did his wealth help him? That wealth he accumulated in unlawful ways? That he kept on accumulating and building and gathering and increasing? Did that benefit him? No. So there's so many examples. And a wise person is he who looks at the examples and avoids wrong. The famous saying of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam comes to mind. When he said that I learned how to behave and conduct myself in a proper, rightful manner, upright manner, by avoiding the things that the ignorant people would do, by avoiding the things that the wrong people would do. I would look at them and I'd see that they're doing wrong, and I knew I had to avoid that if I wanted to remain on the straight path. And obviously, he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. He was a man of great stature, status. Allah had blessed him in many ways. But that's a lesson for us. When we see people around us doing wrong, we don't just follow them. We don't become sheep. What we should do is we should look, analyze, is that person doing things in a rightful way, in a wrongful way? What's the consequences? Is there any barakah in that? Then make a decision. We're seeing people do wrong, we follow them. We go straight into what they're doing. Allah Akbar. Then we complain, oh, why did this happen? Why did that happen? We need to be very wise. There's so many examples all around us, and we need to rely upon the mercy of Allah, the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and pray to Allah that He keeps this greed in check, this unlawful greed. And He gives us tawfiq to live in this dunya in a way that is better for our akhirah, that is blessed for our akhirah, and it gives us the best opportunity to attain great heights in the akhirah in the form of Jannatul Firdaus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what has been said and enable us to act upon it. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In Allah's divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.